Welcome to the Right Take Podcast, news, ideas, and conversations at the intersection of politics and culture, a project of the David Horowitz Freedom Center. I will be your host, Mark Tapson. Greetings and welcome back to the Right Take Podcast. We are about a month away from the third anniversary of the terrible October 7th attack, in which a horde of Hamas terrorists and their civilian supporters flooded into Israel and slaughtered over 1,200 innocents and took another nearly 250 hostage. I've seen now a few documentary films about the 10/7 attack, but the one I unreservedly recommend, which I think is the most enlightening and even empowering, is a new one called A Collective Descent into Evil by a filmmaker who happens to be a close friend of mine, and I'm intimately familiar with her films. I'm even honored to have been interviewed in a few of them, including this one. But I'm not recommending it because of that. It's not like I'm getting royalties or a kickback. It really is the most comprehensive and educational look at the 10/7 attack and the various ideological tributaries that fed the road leading to it. You need to see this film. If you need a little more convincing, I reviewed it for frontpagemag.com, so you can find my review there. My filmmaker friend cares deeply about preserving the values and the legacy of Western civilization and countering the lies of our enemies, both external and internal, whose aim is to tear that civilization down. I've seen her at work, I've had many discussions with her about these issues, and I believe passionately in supporting the work that she's doing. I really don't think there's any filmmaker out there working so hard to put together such important films on the critical threats facing the West. So stay tuned, you don't want to miss this conversation. And don't forget to subscribe to The Right Take, if you don't already, so that you don't miss any of the compelling conversations we're having there. Don't touch that dial. My guest today at the intersection of politics and culture is a filmmaker and founder of Doc Emmett Productions, the motto of which is Truth in Film. She's been the driving creative force behind internationally acclaimed documentaries including The Case for Israel, The Fight of Our Lives, and Civilization in the Danger Zone, which she came on this show to talk about a couple of years ago. Today we're going to talk about A Collective Descent into Evil. It's the most insightful documentary that I have seen about the October 7th savagery in Israel. Gloria Greenfield, welcome back to the Right Take Podcast.
Oh, I love talking with you, so this is a treat for me.
Likewise. Tell us a bit about Doc Emmett Productions.
Okay, so in my earlier years, I have a background, a variety of ways of looking at media, including journalism and book publishing. And I also spent quite some time on advocacy. I then became very engaged with developing regional and national and sometimes international forums for adults on issues that I thought were really important for adults engaged in Western civilization, as well as in the Jewish world. And after a number of years, a dear friend started trying to convince me that I should really get into film. And, you know, and I felt like, oh, that sounded very intimidating to me.
Yeah.
But I love film, and I started to understand how that would make sense. And I also appreciated then that documentary filmmaking is a very, very important way of educating people, especially if the commentators and experts in the film are incredibly articulate and very well studied in the areas that they would be taking on in a documentary film. And that proved to be very true. So I joined with, for the first film, I joined with an Israeli filmmaker to do The Case for Israel, Democracy's Outpost.
Right.
And the film just took off. I mean, it was showing all over the world. And I really loved engaging with the audience and inviting communities around the world to have these conversations following the the documentary films. I have found that documentary filmmaking is even more effective than what I originally hoped it would be. And so Doc Emmett Productions really was launched, and it was launched because of the incredible support we got from people who value these kinds of conversations and this kind of learning. So we launched in, is actually March of 2008. And this year we celebrated our 18th anniversary.
Well, you've sort of anticipated another question I was going to ask, which is, how crucial is it that conservatives not just write more books or do more podcasts, but get the truth to people through the medium of film? Why do you think that's so important today, especially?
You know, I think that one of the problems we're facing in today's societies is that people have this notion that everything has to be like 1.5 minutes.
Yes.
And we are really, and it's tragic, because people are not getting the opportunity to really exercise their brains in these short, like, headlines. We're never going to really understand anything in a useful, sophisticated way, which is necessary, if we're looking at headlines. I mean, we have to have the opportunity to dig deep. And so we can do that with books, and we can do that with documentary films. We could do that with engaging in, you know, conversations that are more than like 1.5 minutes. And I think we need, as a society, we need a portfolio of all of those venues. I think books are really important. I mean, I'm really Yes. excited. You have a book coming up that's going to be released soon. And I can't wait for that book. It's great. So I don't think that we should look at one venue. I think that we should broaden our understanding of how, as long as the quality is there, as long as the deep thinking is there, and as long as the truth is there, we need to read books, and we need to watch documentary films, and we need to demand excellence.
Film is just the primary medium, I think, for disseminating narratives and stories and the truth. And the left has understood this for many, many years. I think conservatives have only recently, in recent years, begun to grasp the importance of these kinds of cultural expressions and to understand that culture is upstream from politics. Moneyed conservatives especially, I think, have been reluctant until pretty recently to get behind films that can impact the culture. What can people do to support you and Doc Emmett in that respect?
Well, I'll answer that with not just Doc Emmett Productions. How can people who understand that all of this whole portfolio of books and also organizations? I mean, let's just take, for example, you know, the David Horowitz Freedom Center. It's such an intellectual gift for those who come every year, and would, you know, they wouldn't miss it. I wouldn't miss it.
And you're talking about Restoration Weekend, which is the Freedom Center's annual gathering of conservative thought leaders, I guess is the expression.
Yeah, and also there are other educational activities that come out of, it's not only the Freedom Center, but the Freedom Center is really important. But it's also, you know, the Jerusalem, coming out of Jerusalem is JNS, and now they just celebrated this this summit on the issues that are critical for the West and for Israel and for the Jewish people and also for Christian Zionists. I mean, it's incredible. So we have these forums that are happening, and while everybody's misguided in thinking that, too many people are misguided in this, like, oh, everything has to be really short. You know, you can't get people's attention if you really dig deep. Well, these venues are really proving that to be false.
I think you're totally right. I think there's a real hunger for that kind of in-depth intellectual stimulation.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And especially when you have an organization like the Horowitz Freedom Center, I'm always amazed at how the Freedom Center is always highlighting up-and-coming thinkers. There's a generosity that the Freedom Center holds that it really serves as a role model for other organizations. And I don't mean this to be, you know, like a commercial for the Freedom Center, but I really do see it as a model of an organization that has a commitment to tell truth and to have high quality learning. It's really important. And so I feel like it's organizations like JNS and organizations like the Freedom Center is part of my family. I think I would lose my mind if I didn't have organizations like that, that really were helping us think through and strategize in effective ways.
Yes, and I haven't really thought about it that way before in terms of family. That hadn't really occurred to me, but now that you mention it, that's exactly the feeling. And I'm pretty proud and honored and also grateful to feel part of it. And we certainly consider you and Document Productions part of the Freedom Center family.
Yeah, and that goes back to what can people do to help support? And you started it with Document Productions, and I, you know, obviously, I mean, I'm very grateful for that, but it's not, again, I'll say it again, it's not just how to support Document Productions so that we could do our work, but also how to better support the Freedom Center, how to better support the new name is the Jerusalem Network Syndicate. I mean, This is all really important. And if we really want to save Western values, Judeo-Christian values, we have to feed our brains.
Well, let's talk about your film, A Collective Descent into Evil. I think it's important to note for people who might be a little tentative about the idea of watching this film that it's not a graphic cataloging of the horrors of October 7th. There's nothing along those lines, I think, for people to be concerned or squeamish about. Although the commentators definitely don't hesitate to call out the barbaric evil that was perpetrated that day, and that you don't look away from it, but I think it's important to note that it's not something that people need to avert their eyes from. You intentionally, I think, made a thoughtful film that succinctly explains the whole history behind October 7th, the rise of the ideology behind it, how it was disseminated through the universities, how it's funded, all that stuff. And I haven't seen that in the few other documentaries I've seen about this topic. Would you say that your goal, and this ties into what we've already been talking about, would you say that your goal with this film was to arm viewers with the understanding that they need to recognize the extent to which the enemy is not just at the gates, but already deeply entrenched inside them, and to take action to dismantle that network?
Oh, of course. You hit it on the nose. Listen, one can't really understand what is going on or the extent of the threat without understanding who our enemies are.
Yes.
And what their goals are, what their strategies are. And once you understand what their strategies and ideology, their goals are, then you realize that I can't think of too much more of being off course, of being, you know, ineffective than talking about having dialogue with our enemies. You don't have dialogue with people who are saying that their intent, in their words, their intention is to destroy Israel, to destroy Jews, and to conquer the world. I mean, their goal, in their own words, their goal is to establish a global caliphate with the world living under Sharia law. I mean, that's the reality. It's not about land. It's really not about land. It's It's about taking over the world. And why don't we believe it when they say it? It's crazy because sometimes I think that people think if they don't think about it, if they don't look at it, it's going to go away.
Yes.
This is not going away. The rate that this is intensifying is horrifying. And I'd like to step back for a minute and address, you know, your point about the film is not horrifying graphically, and that was intentional, and it was intentional to maintain a respect for all those who were murdered, and for their families, and to maintain dignity mm-hmm. for those who were savagely murdered, those who were, you know, kidnapped as hostages, and those families. I mean, they look. The families know what happened. They've seen it, but that doesn't mean that we have to like exploit what happened. So that's why it's not. And so. Listen, the reason why I made this film is because I wanted people to really understand who our enemies are and to understand what they're doing, what, you know, and I know I'm repeating myself, but this is really important to understand what their goals are and what are the strategies that they're using to achieve those goals. And so we are facing monsters.
I think part of the problem is that the West has largely lost its ability to acknowledge the existence of evil and the spiritual warfare that we're involved in. And I think the worst thing we can do to ourselves in the West is continue with willful blindness. One of the takeaways from the film is that the surging anti-Semitism that we have seen since October 7th is inextricably connected to the war on the West in the larger sense. When Jews are openly threatened with eradication, it's a sign of a larger civilizational threat, isn't it? What is the connection there?
Well, you know, I remember a time when people used to say, well, Hitler used the really genocidal, the genocide against, I am going to use that word, it's appropriate, mm-hmm. the genocide of the Armenian people. Yeah. No one said anything. No one tried to help the Armenian people as they were being horribly murdered. And Hitler knew that, you know what? They didn't care about the Armenians. They're not going to care about the Jews. So we have that in history, right? So no one is really saying anything about the Black African Christians who are being slain in Africa. It's horrible. Mm-hmm. It goes on a constant level. So if we have these barbarians who are doing unthinkable things to the women and men in Nigeria who are Christians, why would we expect that they would care about the barbarism against the Jewish people? This is who they are. Whether it's against Jews, whether it's against Christians, this is who they are. They are truly barbarians.
Yes.
And I am talking about the jihadists. This is who I'm talking about. The jihadists with these foolish, stupid idiots on the left who are celebrating them, who are trying to help them in any way that they can. And what they don't understand, what these useful idiots don't understand, is that they will be murdered by these people that they celebrate. You know, the Jews are on the front line of this barbarism in the West. And what Christians have and other good people have to understand is that we're just on the forefront. But this isn't just about Jews. This is about all of us. Yes, Christians are already, there have been beheadings of pastors and other Christians in Europe. We know that there's already in the West assaults on Christians. It may not be as intense as it is towards the Jews in Europe. And now, we're seeing an ugliness that we haven't seen in this country for many, 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 many decades, but it's even more than what was, it's at a higher level. Mm-hmm. But this is against all of us who hold by Judeo-Christian values and by Western values. And there should be a coming together of, and I'm going to quote something, well, I'm not quoting, but I'm going to use a frame that Richard Landis has been trying to get us to understand for a long time. You know, in their minds, we are the infidels.
Mm-hmm.
Whether we're Jews, whether we're Christians, whether we're Hindus, whatever we are, if we are not following their ideology, their radical understanding, and some would say, I don't have to use the word radical, that is their understanding of divinity and theology, that we're expendable. And if they decide that, well, okay, you know, if we keep quiet, if we bend our head, if we pay them taxes, if we agree to be subservient, maybe they'll let some of us live. No, that's not how we're going to live. And that's not what we are not going to participate in the destruction of our values. We are going to fight for our values. And maybe we will never get everybody to do it, but we do know that those of us who have the courage to look at what really is going on, that we are going to fight to save our civilization.
And that's a good lead into my next question, which is about this huge rift that has arisen within the right over Israel and a related chasm between Christians and Jews driven by online influencers. Despite our theological differences, if Christians and Jews don't see themselves as natural allies against this red-green alliance, as you mentioned, the communist-Islamist alliance, doesn't this seriously hold us back, hamstring us in this fight to defend the West?
Well, what we have to understand is those people who are sucking up to the jihadists, to our enemies, they're just whores. They are selling their values. They are selling the West for money. And that's what they're getting. They're getting paid. There's no integrity there. There's no integrity with a Tucker Carlson or any of them. I mm-hmm. mean, we you know, the list of these whores grow. It continues to grow. And they have to get the message of who they really are when they do that. Whether you want to call them whores or whether you want to call them Benedict Arnolds, they are selling their values for coins.
Along these lines, there's a willfully blind, to get back to that phrase again, isolationist strain in some American conservatives who say things like, well, Iran and the jihadists, they would all just leave us alone if only we stopped supporting Israel and stopped fighting what they call Israel's wars. What would you say to those people?
That they're ignorant, because it's not a matter of fighting Israel's wars. What would happen to this country if Israel didn't exist? If Israel, with its brilliance in medicine, in its brilliance with defensive materiel of that is used to protect us, all of us who are the so-called infidels, if we didn't have the commitment and the brilliance that comes out of Israel, it would be even darker than it already is. So no, it's not fighting Israel's wars. It's partnering, equal partners.
And I often think about the Arab phrase, first the Saturday people, then the Sunday people, meaning first the Jews, then the Christians. So
yeah.
It's not a matter of, it's not going to end at Israel's borders. It's already beyond Israel's borders. Our mutual friend, journalist Melanie Phillips, who appears in your documentary, notes in the film that October 7 was a watershed moment for Western civilization, that to a very disheartening extent, we failed to make the right choice between civilization and barbarism. We are now coming up on the 3-year anniversary of that attack. And we've already touched on this some, but where do you think things stand in terms of that conflict between civilization and barbarism? It's often been called a clash of civilizations in the past, but that's not really accurate. It really is, as you noted, a conflict between civilization and barbarism.
I think that we shouldn't be surprised at the level of trembling knees that we're seeing. We shouldn't be surprised by people who think that even though it's stated that they want to destroy, whether it's Jews or Christians or whomever, that if we show that we're cowards, if we show that we're blinding our eyes to what's happening, that things will be okay, that all we have to do is make ourselves subservient to these barbarians. That is probably one of the fastest ways of degrading the honor and the beauty of civilization. I'm not sure that I directly answered your question, but I want to invite you into this conversation.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of whether or not we have the momentum or we're finding the momentum, it's hard to tell. I'd have to say that we have a long uphill battle to fight. And we're starting to gather momentum in certain ways. I think Trump, to some extent, has helped us gather that momentum. And in other ways, he is hindering that momentum, especially, I would say, in terms of his relationship with Qatar, which is a whole other topic to get into. But I think the West has a long way to go before we recover our civilizational confidence and before we're capable of countering an enemy that has absolutely zero self-doubt, culturally speaking. And that's what we're up against, and that's why we're still in danger of losing this clash.
No, we are. So one of the things, and it's not just me who recalls this, when we start feeling like alone, when we start feeling like, why aren't our sisters and brothers like understanding what's going on? Why are they going over to the dark side? Why are they humiliating Western civilization in the way that they are, by their subservience, by their blindness in seeing who these monsters really are? Let's take a biblical look at this and remember that some people say it was only 30% of the Israelites who left Egypt when they could. Some say it was 40%, whether it's 30% or 40%. That's not the point. The point is that there wasn't a majority of people, there wasn't a majority of Israelites who were healthy enough to understand that freedom was really important, right? Their freedom to follow God was really important, not to be, you know, dictated by the Pharaoh. And so we have to remember that. We probably won't ever get a majority. We don't need a majority. We need a strong, even if it's minority, of fighters who will not turn our backs on our civilization, that will not turn our backs on the younger generations who don't know any better because they're watching too much TikTok.
Yes.
No, seriously. I mean, yes. I mean, you know, we need to stand up and fight in any way that we eat. Look, everybody has a strength. We don't all have the same strengths, but there's a strength. We each have something that we can contribute to this fight for the good. I mean, it was clear, it was mostly clear during the Second World War that let's just look at the United States, all of those brave young men and women who said, okay, I'm gonna do what I can do. And there was a sense of pride in the country, and there was also a sense of, we are not going to let this barbarism that was happening during World War II, they weren't going to let it win, and they were going to fight. And that's what we need to do now, whether it's, I'm going to say it again, not everybody has the same strengths, but everybody has some kind of strength that contribute to the protection and the flourishing of Western civilization. And let me say that I don't think that all of the West is going to survive. I think that it's obvious that there are nations in the West that are participating in suicide.
Yes.
They're not going to make it. But that doesn't mean that every good nation in this world has to commit suicide.
Exactly right. But I do think it's important for Americans especially to not be complacent and think, well, it can't happen here because this
is
America. Yes, it's already happening. That's right. We're just not as far along as some countries that are more obviously in decline, like Great Britain or France. Those countries are at a point where I believe they are beyond political solutions. I think they've reached a point where it's going to require what I've been saying for years and years is coming, and that's civil war. and they're on the verge of it now. And I think it's important for Americans not to just write that off and say, well, this is America, we're safe, and we've got all the guns, and that kind of complacency, which is really self-defeating. Along these lines, I want to mention that the last sentence in your film, which is spoken by Kenneth Marcus, is, we need to fight back and we need to win. And that's partly what we've been talking about. And I think that's the message of your, the overall message of your film, and maybe even of your documentary work in general. I think conservatives may not be as comfortable as the left in terms of being political activists. But as you noted, there are things that people can do, or quote unquote, ordinary people can do in their daily lives to make a stand and take their part in fighting this fight and winning.
I agree. It's very important that you said that, because we can't give up, because to do otherwise is to give up. There's always something that each person has that can contribute to the protection and the celebration of our values. And we need to do that. And that is one thing. One of the things that the current administration has been doing to a great extent, and we can do even more of that. Mm-hmm. We have to be proud of our civilization and of our values at this time when we're surrounded. I'm using the term surrounded because I think that we're also being surrounded by some very, very dangerous ideologies that Canada is allowing to grow in its land. But we've got to bring life back. We have to bring the will and the wanting of a good life back. If we don't do that, I think it's pretty obvious what's going to happen.
Yes, and one of the things I tell people that they can do in their daily lives, and this is probably the most important thing to do, and it's something everyone can do, although it's no small thing, and that is simply to speak the truth, tell the truth, do not submit to the lies. Don't live by lies, as Solzhenitsyn once put it. And that's no small thing, because that can have serious consequences in people's lives to speak the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where we have to begin. Of all the commentators in your film, and there are many, and all of them have important things to say from a wide variety of perspectives, is there any insight in particular, and maybe this is unfair to ask you to single anything out, but is there any insight in particular that you would like to highlight or elaborate on from the film?
I think that one of the things that I'm really proud of, even when they're discussing very difficult issues in very, very difficult analysis of what's going on, they present it with a fierceness. The fierceness is in the determination to fight this, the determination that we can do this, we can win. And then there are things like both you and Daniel Pipes in discussing the Muslim Brotherhood, the infiltration of the Muslim Brotherhood, and why it needs to fight, and Pipes, you know, it takes it to different parts of the world and discusses how, you know, the Muslim Brotherhood may take on different shades in different countries or different territories, but the two of you make it very clear that the Muslim Brotherhood is very, very dangerous, and it's very, very present in this country. I mean, I could spend hours on pointing out other issues. Look, I think that people should just watch the film.
Yes.
And I'm not saying that because, I don't want to say because it's my film, because it should be all of our film. The reason why this film is so incredible is because of the people who are in the film, in their minds. It takes courage. It takes courage to do it, to stand in. These days, it takes courage to stand up and tell truth. And we have to make sure that the courage in each of the 37 incredible commentators, analysts, journalists in this, and scholars in this film, should be role models for the rest of us, that yes, stand up and speak eloquently about what's going on and what we need to do. This isn't about having beating each other up in the street. This is about using our brains in coming up with strategies that we need to use to sustain and increase the honor that our civilization deserves.
Yes, the stakes could not possibly be higher. And it's a battle that we simply cannot afford to turn our eyes from. There's just no opting out. There's no standing on the sidelines. We are in this fight of our lives, to quote the title of another documentary of yours. There's no option but to give it our all and to fight with everything we've got. And
yeah.
This documentary really goes a long way toward helping us in that fight. I recommend it to everybody.
I'd like to add one thing that I didn't touch on yet, which I'm going to touch on now, which is the role that the family has in raising our children and our grandchildren to be good people who aren't afraid. And again, I'm going to use the words of Menachem Begin, not be Jews or Christians with trembling knees, that we need to be honorable. And part of being honorable is being brave and protecting goodness. When we teach our children that they should hide, whether it's hide their crosses or hide their Stars of David, no, don't hide them. If you have to, if you don't already know how to fight to protect yourself, then learn how to fight. Make sure that your kids know self-defense. And don't tell them to hide who they are. Tell them to be proud of who they are. And we, the parents, we need to be role models for our children. And the other thing that we need to do, and I'm going to say specifically about the Jewish people right now, is while it's really, really important to teach about the Holocaust, it's just as important, if not more so, while we're teaching about the Holocaust, we also have to teach about the resilience of the Jewish people, the heroism of the Jewish people. I would say that Christians need to do that as well to their mm-hmm. Christian children.
I totally agree. It's really about the next generation and preparing them for the fight.
Yeah.
A fight that is going to be inevitable for them as well.
Yes.
Gloria, I know that filmmaking is an exhausting, because from watching you, I know that filmmaking is a long road. It's an exhausting process. So I almost hesitate to ask you this, but have you thought about what your next film might be about?
No, and what actually, if we go from the first film to the sixth film, which is the latest film, if you watch them really carefully, you'll see that it's a journey. What happens when I make a film and it comes out, I travel with the film for 2.5-3 years. And those conversations that I have with the audience is really important to me, because I get a sense then of where is it that we have to focus in with clarity on these other issues. And because the pace is going so quickly now, I could decide on, I could say, okay, I think I think the next one should be whatever, but things are going to change. There's going to be other aspects of this that emerge that require that kind of attention. So it's sort of like I'm gathering steps from each audience that I engage with. And it's those conversations that really guide me. So I wish I could say to you, listen, I think that everything's going to be stay the same. So I think I can just do this thing now. No, mm-hmm. we don't know what it's going to look like 3 years from now, because think about 3 years ago.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it there's an intensification that happens and it takes on a variety of footprints. I will be as surprised as all of you are. I don't know what it's going to be,
yeah.
But what I do know it's going to be about is it's going to be about Western civilization. It's going to be about the necessity of the protection and flourishing of Judeo-Christian values. Of course it's going to be, but there may be other things with it.
Well, I look forward to it. I know it's going to be great work and important work. And along those lines, thank God for you and for the work, the great work that you are doing. Thanks for that. And thanks for coming back to The Right Take.
Well, I love having conversations with you, whether it's on, whether it's being recorded or whether we're just schmoozing. So, I mean, I find you to be very inspirational. So it's a pleasure for me.
The feeling is absolutely mutual. Listeners, go to documentproductions.com and check out all the films that Gloria Greenfield has made. Thank you for tuning in. And don't forget to subscribe to The Right Take if you haven't already. If you like what you hear, please leave that positive review. Be seeing you.